Christina. Two more seat over here. Okay, Christina is here. You want to sit here? You can sit here.
Oh, it's okay.
You're the host. Okay, so I think we can start. You ready? Yeah. Okay. Very good afternoon, ready to all Dhamma friends, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 7th of March, 2020. So it's a Saturday. We are at Christina's house having the house done. We just finished our lunch. So first of all, before we start, I'd like to make use of this opportunity to thank Christina for hosting this particular house dana so that all Kayaramitas can gather here today to have fellowship and at the same time develop a lot of wholesomeness. And we can also rejoice in whatever wholesomeness, generosity and goodness that people have developed. Then at the same time, we will have a very simple salutation to the Triple Gem. Then we will recite Namo Tassa 3 times before we start the sharing. The second session sharing is Dhamma. So okay, let us compose our mind. Develop the faith, Sada Virya, then mindfully we shall chant.
Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ nāmi namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi pānatipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi dīnādānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi mosāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi sūrāmīrayā macchāpamādatthāna vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi sādhu sādhu sādhu.
Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddhaṃ pujami dhammaṃ pujami
Sanghan Pachet. Okay, you can be seated. So we just had our rather sumptuous lunch, very good lunch. The food was good, the drinks also very good. The peppermint drink was very nice. So we all should thank all those who had made this possible, the offerings and all those things. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Like what the Buddha had advised, whatever Buddhist activity or function, when you hold them, you should have this puja offerings, puja chanting, before and after, so that you can perform almost all the wholesomeness, mainly the 10 meritorious actions, you can get to perform them. And all these 10 meritorious actions is very useful to bring forth the causes and conditions for your good life. And also it will set the base for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Because the Buddha's teaching is very simple. He always tells the lay people, Dana, Sila, Bhavana. Dana is generosity for me. To have the good life, you must have generosity power me. You must have this heart that is generous, that is very kind, ever willing to make offering. And this offering or generosity, karmically, whatever you give to your karmic nature, and your karmic nature will receive them. That's like the Buddha say, you reap what you sow. Do good, be as good. Do evil, be as evil. You plant the seed of goodness, means wholesomeness, generosity, kindness. You will reap the fruit of generosity, wholesomeness, and kindness. Likewise, if you plant the seed of evil with the evil roots of greed, hatred, of delusion, you will reap the fruit of evil. This is karma. Then in the fifth daily contemplation, the Buddha make it very clear to all living beings. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, the obvious thing to do is to take care of karma. If you don't take care of karma, your life will be affected. You will become miserable. So taking care of karma is very important. To do that, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. That's how the teaching comes about. The first right view with regards to law of karma. To avoid all evil, the Buddha prescribed the keeping of the precept. That's why every puja session, chanting session, we will renew our precepts to remind us of the importance of avoiding evil. Those who keep the precepts, minimum 5, you avoid major evil. Your life will be much better in accordance with the Dhamma way. So avoiding all evil via keeping precept is very important. But to really keep precept, we must really train our mind, develop awareness, mindfulness, heedfulness, so that we are aware of our mental intention. Not only the gross one, even the subtle one. When you can see them, then you can do something about it. Then we cultivate the 4 right effort to constantly purify. The 4 right effort is the initial purification at the thought level. First right effort is to abandon the wrong thought wrong speech and wrong action that has a reason. Means after it has a reason, then only you manage to see them. Then you arise the right effort to abandon them. And the Buddha has taught us five ways which we have gone through. Otherwise, you read through the Heart Sutta book. Then the next one is the right effort to prevent the wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action from arising. This one you need initial wisdom. You need so manasika. You must constantly listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, then reflect, contemplate, inquire to understand deeply, so that the first and second turning wisdom can give rise to the initial wisdom of yoniso manasika. Then when you straighten your view, every time you experience something in life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, that you feel, think, your mind will not stir, your mind will not react, because this initial wisdom will come and prompt you and let you understand that the world is the world, people are just the way they are. When condition is such, thing will be such, then you do not stir, you do not react, you do not create negativity or mind state. That's how you can prevent this unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech and unwholesome action from arising. Without this initial wisdom, you can't. So this first two right effort, you need to develop them, cultivate them. Then the third and fourth right effort is to develop wholesomeness. The third right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. So to do that, you must reflect, contemplate and understand what constitutes right thought, what constitutes right speech and right action. When you understand them, then only you can arise the right effort to cultivate them. Then after you have developed them, you can arise the fourth right effort to refine upon and perfect all those right thought, right speech and right action that you have already developed. So this four right effort will help you to prepare your mind, even though it's at the top level, to develop wholesomeness. Means you will have more and more right thought, right speech, right action, more meritorious action. This is basically Noble Eightfold Path. First, six path factor. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and the four right effort. There is also one right living or right livelihood. This one is automatic. It is the natural consequence of the first few path factor. After you have developed the first two advice, you have to go for the third advice of the Buddha, purify your mind, purification of mind. This is to develop wisdom, understanding, so that you are not afflicted by the other first noble truth, reality, so that you can develop the understanding of the impermanent nature of our form and mind, 5 MEA. You attach, cling and wanting, your way, suffering will arise. So all these universal characteristics, you will see them. And because they are impermanent, the 5 aggregate of form and mind is not real, not what you think. It's like the anatta nature, non-self nature, empty nature. So all these are connected to the first right view. So this is basically what cultivation is. And the Buddha said to be skillful in this, to develop this well, you need three things. First, Dana Parami, which we have explained earlier. So after Dana, we renew our precept Sila. So again, we develop beautiful mind state, less negativity. And this will prepare you to have a good mind. Because when you don't break precept, you have less problem. You have less fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So precept is very important. That's the reason why if you keep your precept when we are at the retreat or at the temple, the monk will also chant and I will also chant for you to understand the reason why you must keep your precept. So the Buddha in the Pali form, he chants, Silena sukanting yanti, silena dibunting yanti, then silena boga sambada. So these three explain to you the importance of precept. Silena sukanting yanti, the meaning is precept or virtue is a source of spiritual happiness, spiritual joy, sukanting yanti. And silena boga sampadam. Boga sampadam means virtue or precept is the source of spiritual wealth. The last one is silena nibbanting yanti. Virtue or precept is the source of spiritual calmness, nibbanting yanti. So these three mind states are very important. Spiritual joy, happiness, spiritual peacefulness or calmness of mind, and spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth also very important. This will support your meditation. That's why your sila, your samadhi will kick in. It's a natural consequence. But when you have spiritual joy or spiritual happiness, spiritual peacefulness of mind, your mind can become composed. Then you will receive spiritual teaching, spiritual wealth. Just like precept or sila is very important. So when you have dana developed, the next stage is to keep your sila. After you keep your sila, you will be able to meditate. Your samadhi will kick in. And when there is samadhi, you can develop wisdom. Then you can see things as they are. The direct seeing, giving rise to the understanding of the way things are. So, samadhi and panya is basically bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative discipline. So dana, sila, bhavana is actually dana, sila, samadhi and panya. So to the monk, he will teach sila, samadhi and panya. To the lay people, dana, sila, bhavana. So lay people, more complete. You have the dana parami to take care. Then when you become monk, because monk don't own anything, so they cannot perform much dana parami. When people offer to them, then maybe they can re-offer. But on their own, they're not supposed to own anything. Because that renunciation is they renounce everything. They renounce their name, they are given a new name. They renounce their family members and everything. Then they renounce all their possessions. They cannot own anything. They become monks who hold the precept and whose duty is to cultivate and perform their duties as a monk. So the synergy that the Buddha established under the Sangha is the Sangha needs support from the lay people society. Then in return, the monk gave them spiritual wealth, chant for their well-being and protection. So that synergy is very, very beautiful, very useful. Yeah. They call it symbiosis living. Mm. Supporting each other. Mm. So if you look at the teaching, the Buddha encouraged the monk during the rain retreat to stay at certain places and cultivate on their own. Because the 3-month rain retreat normally is raining quite heavily in India. So not conducive for traveling to teach people, to help people. They help people by giving them opportunity to make offering by going for alms from Pindapata. So because they are monks who really believe in all this and did all this, when they cultivate and do their duty, they become real monks. Samana, who is worthy of offering respect, give and the 4 things. So when they become worthy of offering respect, give and hospitality, this will create symbiosis because when you do this offering, you receive very, very wholesome merits, where they are a field of limitless merits they really cultivate. So when it comes to Sangha, the meaning is very deep. It's not necessary only those in the robe are the Sangha. To the Buddha, when he talked about the Sangha, he means the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, the Aryan Sangha. So some lay people are also enlightened beings. So they are actually part of the Sangha too, the Aryan Sangha. So those who are real cultivator, who has already developed understanding and awakening or enlightenment, they are a field of limitless merits. That's why when you chant the salutation to the Sangha, you will understand. The Buddha called them the 4 pairs of enlightened beings. 4 pairs is because each and every enlightened being, Sotapan, first stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, Anagami, third stage of sainthood, and Arahantship, fourth stage of sainthood. Each and every of these stages, there is a path and a friction. That's why it become 1 pair. So these 4 pair of noble ones, they are worthy of respect, offering, give and shelter. Then this noble disciple of the Buddha, the 4 pairs of Kribi, they also got 4 qualities. That's why we chant Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho. So this Aryan Sangha, they have this very special quality. The first one is they have good conduct. Oh, good conduct is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the second one is Ujjupatipanno. This one is of right conduct. They have a lot of beautiful right conduct. Then the third one is Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho. Nyaya is wisdom. Of wise conduct are this Aryan disciple of the Buddha. The final one is Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho. Of dutiful conduct, they do their duty very well. So if you want to check whether you are enlightened or not, you check whether you have this 4 quality or not. whether your conduct in life are real right conduct, virtuous conduct. That's a noble eightfold path. Right view, leading the right thought, right speech, right action, right life. They conduct themselves in a very, very noble way. Then of upright conduct, they are very righteous, very upright. They never compromise. They never go the crooked way of normal living being. Can gouting one. You cannot gouting them. Because they know what is right and what is wrong. They will not violate the karma. They will not compromise to their greed, their selfishness, or their motive and all those things. Then the third quality is they are very wise. They don't create a human misunderstanding. They don't try to be right. They don't manifest their ego to be aggressive. They try to argue. They try to become dominant. They don't. Of wise conduct, they are very wise in their approach to life. That's why they can resolve whatever issue amicably. They will not create unnecessary misunderstanding, conflict, war, and all those things. To them is peace, harmony. Wherever there is wholesomeness and virtue, they will develop more and more. Then the last one is they have this special quality of an enlightened being that knows the difference between the form and mind and their true nature. They know their form and mind is subject to karma, whereas the true nature is beyond all these things. So when it comes to the world in existence, living life, they will know that this form and mind, you cannot simply do things. You must perform your duty towards the law of nature, especially the law of karma. They will not violate. Even though they know all these are impermanent, empty, non-self, not real, lead to suffering. But they cannot simply do things because this one is subject to karma. If you don't accord and flow with law of karma, you violate them. This form and mind will get into trouble, where the karmic nature will be affected. So they have this special understanding of right duty. That conduct is very unique to an enlightened being. So if you want to check whether you have progressed, whether you are really enlightened or not, you check these four qualities. Even other people claiming to be enlightened or have the Dhamma, you check whether they have good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, dutiful conduct, these four. If they have, then you must pay your respect because these are people who have already developed the training accordingly. That's why when you chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, you know who the Buddha is. You know what the Dhamma is. So if you think you're enlightened, you check whether what you have realized or understood is that type of Dhamma, the characteristics of the Dhamma. So we every time chant the salutation to the Dhamma. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what is this Dhamma? The Buddha said this Dhamma is sandhitiko. Sandhitiko means can be realized in the here and the now. Like Nibbana, enlightenment. But if they promise you die only, you go somewhere, you must be careful. Because that one you cannot confirm until you die. After you die, you cannot complain. You cannot do anything. We have nothing to do with them already. And you also cannot come out and complain anymore. So that Dhamma is sanditiko, no need to wait till you die to realize. Then the next thing is sanditiko akaliko. Akaliko means this Dhamma that you realize is beyond thought, beyond mind. If it's still a knowledge, still a thought-based thing, then you have to develop the inquiry. How come the thing I came to understand is just knowledge, not something that is beyond thought, beyond mind? Means you haven't realized the cessation of form and mind, the unconditioned Dhamma, the wisdom, the awakening, the understanding. Then after that, the Buddha says, sanditiko, akaliko, ehibhasiko. Ehibhasiko means this Dhamma can stand up to investigation. He invites you to investigate into it. If it's the truth, it stands up to investigation. So you can investigate on his teaching. That's the beauty of the Dhamma. Then after that is Opanayiko. This teaching is leading inward into your heart, into your nature. Then Pachetang Veditabo Vinohiti. This teaching can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. If you are not enlightened, you cannot understand. That's why it's beyond thought, beyond mind. And it's within the nature, leading inward. So all this will ensure that you will not deviate from what he has taught you. Then of course the Buddha also has his 9 great virtues. Ittipesu bhagava arahaṁ sama sambuddho. Then vicca charana sampanno. So all the 9 great virtues of the Buddha, they are clearly listed down there. That's why the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha is very important, so that we know the triple gem that we take refuge in. What are they? Who is the Buddha? What is this Dhamma? What is this Sangha? Unless you know what they are, when you take refuge, there is meaning. If you don't know what they are, when you take refuge, you don't even know what you take refuge in. You don't even know who the Buddha is. And what quality does the Buddha have? Then the Sangha, the Dhamma. So all these are very important. So basically what I want to share with you is the understanding as a Buddhist. Why we have this teaching and why the Buddha introduced his teaching in such a manner. Starting with Buddhist devotional practice. Or he called it the puja. So you have the puja chanting, pre and post. Then you got the puja offering. It is through all this that you develop your progress in the understanding of the Dhamma and the cultivation. Then all his teaching can be linked. Then you start to understand why he introduced to the lay people Dana, Sila, Bhavana. To the monks, Sila, Samadhi and Panya. So all this I have already described them. Hope this can let you have clearer understanding, better understanding, so that your understanding is more stable and it can give you faith. Because when you go this way, your life will change. It will transform you personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, virtue-wise. And when you have all this, you become beautiful. And all this will help you to develop the strong, good karmic nature. You take care of karma, karma take care of your life will become beautiful, meaningful. You will have less problem, yeah? Because you follow the advice of the Buddha through right view, right understanding. If you don't know this teaching, you simply do things, you become heedless and you will get into a lot of trouble. That is basically what the Buddha is trying to tell the lay people and the monks. And his one major advice is heedfulness, he said. Before he died, he again reminded the monks and the lay people, strive on with heedfulness. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So heedfulness is also a very important quality. To be heedful, according to Dhammapada verse 23, you have to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So these two, if you cultivate them, you will realize the supreme bonfire nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So if you want to be enlightened, train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. Then you will have heedfulness. Means you will be constantly meditative, ever mindful. So with this, I think I will stop my sharing so that you can ask me questions. If you got any question or any topic that you want to understand, you can put out your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Where is the mic? Oh, the mic is there. Yeah. Anybody? Nobody. What is it that you want to know? Oh, I forgot. Let's let Christina say a few words. The horse. Yeah, pass the mic. Yeah, pass the mic to Christina. Yeah. Off it first. No, off the thing first. It's okay. The when you are too near the, you call what, the one, the speaker. Then there is a distortion. Yeah, Christina, you can say a few words.
Hello. Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, brother, sister, in the Dharma, to brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kaya, my Tyson. Actually, I'm very thankful to brother Teo to spare your time to be with us. It's also, I'd like to thank all who are present here today. In these few years, actually, I learned a lot from the Dharma, and I learned from my lesson, from the lesson that I encounter with Dharma, I overcome it at peace.
You are able to be more at peace with whatever situation that arises within your life. Then also you are able to overcome all your earlier karmic conditioning and problems. In the early years, I remember when you started coming to the class, you were so full of problems, suffering, misery. Then later on, I was told by Sui An that you went and see him at HBA. Then he advised you to attend the Thursday class. That time her life was very traumatic. She experienced a lot of very traumatic first number two reality, and the children were still very young. And many things happened. It's not easy. But luckily, after she came to the Thursday class, she started to listen. And she started to calm down. Then she starts to develop the understanding. Then she go and do. Or after she go and do, she finds it so useful, so helpful. Then she develop the faith and her life changed. She really changed for the better. Then after she changed, she helped the brothers, the sister, the mother. And the whole family also become different, turn around through that understanding. Last time she got a lot of bad habit and negativity. Used to go out late night, drink and all those things. Because Hitler, that time don't understand. Until the first noble truth reality hit her very hard. That one was really hard. Involving her husband and all those things. Not easy. And that time she was 31 years old. Having to carry the burden of the whole family's duty and see to everything. Not easy, but she made it, she did it. And she also went to Tsuji to help. All this will help her turn around and develop the whole scenario. She starts to have faith in the teaching. And I came to know about it. The first year she went out retreat in Cameron Highland, I remember. After a few days, he came and talked to me personally. He said, "Matthew, I got something very personal to discuss with." Then she told me the whole story. Then I told her, "Don't worry. With the Dhamma, you can overcome them." That's how she came through, pulled through beautifully. Otherwise, not easy. Suicidal thought almost every day. Because don't know what to do.
True.
Yeah, don't know what to do.
It's like no meaning.
Yeah, no
I'm
meaning.
At this place already.
Yeah.
So I'm here wishing every Kalaimitas, if let's say you meet the right teachers, follow, no turning back. No turning back. For me, I'm here really very grateful to Brother Teo because of Brother Teo Dharma. I'm here today. Else, I didn't know where my life would end up to.
She went
everywhere. I'm really grateful to
until she don't know what to do. Then Sweet Aunt also don't know what to do. She said, "You better come to Thursday class." That's how it all started. And many years really, six years. Nine years already. Then coming to 10 years. Very far. I still thought it's 6-7 years. Yeah, almost 9 years already. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now the children all graduated. So it's time for her to have a good life. So she can now do what she wants to do in life. Which is beautiful. You can also thank the Kayamita for coming. And also the food and all those things.
Thank you all. Kalaimitas, for your presence today. No doubt it's I know it's a very busy weekend for everyone. And then I'd like to ask actually Brother Teo a question. I have a Dharma friend here. The son, I say, just got the SPM result. Actually, as a new, fresh, they just came out. They don't know what direction they are heading to.
After Form 5. Right?
Yes, after Form 5.
So, you are the one. You are taking science or arts?
Arts.
You like arts? Oh, good. So, as far as education is concerned, I think I know quite a lot. Because I did well in the academic field. I reached the pinnacle of my academic life. Then also, after I graduated, I also went into the career field. Then I also reached the pinnacle of my career life. So you can achieve them if you understand what you want. For me, it's very straightforward because ever since I was very young, my nature know what my destiny is and what I supposed to end up. So when I was in primary school, standard 1, then I go to standard 2, there's a curriculum card that follows us. I was asked what career I want. And standard one, I was the last in the class. Standard two, second last. Yeah, I got one subject which I had 100 marks, arithmetic. The rest all zero. Yeah? Send me to an English school, I don't know English. So I'm really blur. But inside my heart, I knew I want to be an engineer, civil engineer in particular. Then my classmate next to me, he saw me, wrote down first choice civil engineer. He take my curriculum card, he went in front of the class, he read it out to the class and laughed. He said, Theo wants to be a civil engineer, he said. Because I was the last in the class, I said, the whole world was civil engineer already. Because the last in the class can become civil engineer, then who cannot become civil engineer? So they were having a good laugh. But for me, it's very strange. I didn't even get angry or unhappy. I just let him do that. I look at him and I said, ah, you laugh. End of the day, let's see what happened. End of the day, the whole school, my school, none of them went into civil. I'm the only one who went into MBO engineering and studied civil engineering. I was the only one who was qualified to become a civil engineer from my whole school. So karma is very strange. It's not what you think. Then because my academic was very good, when I was in Hong Kong, I did very well. Then I knew my father wanted me to be a doctor because he's a Chinese sensei, Chinese medical shop owner. He wants me to be a doctor. But deep inside my heart, I want to become an engineer. So I tell myself, to be fair, I let nature decide. I don't want to decide. So I come up with the idea. I write on a small sheet of paper, four maths, for bio. Means bio means study medicine. Maths means study engineering. So I put all the eight, throw them into a container. Then I stir them, mix them. Then I take out one by one. The first one come out maths. Second one come out also maths. Third one also maths. Last one also maths. The probability I counted is so difficult to get. Very rare. Then I said, what is going on? It must be that deep that I study maths. Then I told my dad, I said, very sorry. Because I have book prize for both all my science subject and maths. All the five subjects, I am the top in the class. School actually, we were the A class. So I got five book prize, maths and science. I can study bio, I can study maths. But I told my dad, because of that, I will study maths to become an engineer. My dad finally agreed. He said, no problem, engineer is also good. So that's how I end up as an engineer. So coming back to your question, it's the same. Trust your heart. Understand? What your heart wants, that is the one, the conscience. Not the thought. The thought is after you consider a lot of information you gather from people already. It's other people who tell you, this one good, this one no good. But not your own understanding. So you can feel deep in your heart what you want to do, then that is the one you should follow. Follow your heart. Don't follow what people tell you. Because your career is very important. It goes with you for your entire career life. Your career life can be 20 years, 30 years. Nobody knows. Some people who are near 60, 60 something. We are all young kid, graduate at the age of 20. So you work until 60, you got 40 years of career life. If you study a course that you don't like, I tell you, you become miserable for 40 years. Then I have seen children or people graduate with the degree that they don't like. And in between, some change course. Some didn't change course. Give up the whole degree. Didn't work in that career line of you, they go and do something else. And there are quite a number in it. Then some, they are forced by their parents. They say, this one more well paid. So go and study to become a lawyer, or to become an accountant, or to become a doctor. There's professional course and all of it. But if you study accountancy and do audit, you have to be careful. Because I was told a lot of people who went into audit, they become miserable. They told me low salary, I mean during audit training time, low salary, no day, no night. Work until don't have time for girlfriend. Girlfriend also run away. Or boyfriend also run away. Then stress like that, will take time. Audit every 3 months, audit one. So life was not easy. Then certain field, it may be like very prestigious, very well paid and all those things. But they don't have the interest in the sana. So you are like forcing them to do that career that they may not like. So there was a kid, I remember. The mother forced him to study that professional course. After he graduated, the day he received the degree, official confirmation that he graduated, he took that result sheet back and he threw it in front of his mother. He said, this is what you want, this is what I owe you. Now, don't interfere with my life anymore. And he walked out of the house just like that. That's why don't force your children to study the course that they don't like. Check with them, discuss with them. If they want to understand anything, know anything, take them to see people who have the experience, or go to the college, the university, and study their, what they call, they have this career teacher or career master who can actually brief you on what type of course to take and what are the things that you do when you take this course. So let them have more understanding. Then show them the various type of university or college. Then tell them there are two routes you can take. After Form 5, it seems you can go direct to college. You don't need to go through Form 6. That one is a shorter way. Yeah. But if you go to Form 6, there is also advantage. Yeah. Because most people, they cannot maybe afford to go overseas, or do certain type of professional course that are very expensive. So they will continue their Form 6 in government school if they can go in. Then after they pass their Form 6, then only they decide which field and which course and which university to apply to. And local you are cheaper. But it depends. It depends. Because private college is also not that expensive actually. If you study local. Then if you want to do twinning, it can be a 2 plus 1. Then sometimes you can do 3 plus 0. Then I was told Ta College has that. 3 plus 0, you actually finish your diploma first. And the Ta College diploma is quite high standard. Then after that, you can do 9 months in UK. It's a twinning. My sister's eldest daughter did that. Then his other children, they just did the 3 years in Ta College here. At that time, the fees was very cheap. Ta College was only 5,000 something. Now I don't know, now maybe higher. My two kids, when they were doing in private college, first year was 9,000, I remember. But my daughter, the result very good. He got scholarship all the way. for all the 3 years, and she did very well in her tertiary education too. So she got a lot of award and all those things. Because of that, the fees that she's supposed to pay, I give it to her as her savings. I say, this one is the money you deserve. You have not got that thing, I will have to pay. So the second year was higher, the fees, I think. 13,000 won. The final year was about 14,000 or 15,000. Then when it come to my son, he no more exempted from the what they call foundation. They say not fair. Those 4 or 5 after that direct go to college. 3 years they graduate. You know. My daughter graduated the year 2000. He is less than 20 years old at that time. Coming to 20. We were in March, you graduate, but his birthday is July. So they say not fair. So my son had to study 9 months of foundation. So 9 months also he paid 9,000 fee. Then after that, second year, they call it foundation, then first year. First year I think is about 12,000 or 13,000. Then finally, third year is 15,000. So the total fees also quite cheap. There's a higher education loan, PTPTN, they can give you up to, that time was about 40,000 and up. We are 3 year course. But now I think they give more, higher. Less? Cannot be. Now PTPTN is how much? Yeah, how many years ago? 3 years ago. But now I think higher. Now the government PTPTN loan minimum, how much they give you? You don't know.
My youngest girl also got less.
Less?
28,000. They give about.
That one is 30%. Per year. Per year or what?
3 years.
3 years. Oh, 28 is very low.
Yeah.
28 is very low. Not enough to cover.
Now the
Yeah, 21,000 easily. Depend on which college. So arts, you have a lot of choice. A lot of my classmates who study with me science, after they reach form 5, their result not so good. So they choose arts when they go to form 6. They study arts. And most of these people who study arts at that time, during our time, you either become a lawyer or you are an accountant. These two. And they did very well also. But now, arts, the field is a lot wider. I was told arts, you can study a lot of courses. Then there is something in between. You call it what? In between arts and
commerce.
No, it is, you can take the your form 6, you can take the options, your subjects, you don't have to take like science, the pure maths and applied maths, no need. You take the normal maths. Normal maths they call it. You all that time call modern maths, but my time is different. My time is just
Ad maths.
Ad maths is form 5, I think. Form 6 also got ad maths. It's a easier type of maths.
More difficult.
Pure maths and applied maths is more difficult. That one is for science students or study engineering or something. But for arts, it's just a general maths for form 5. But form 5, 4, 4, 5 science students, they study at maths. So for him, arts stream. He don't study MS, he study general maths. So when you go to Form 6, with that maths, you can do accountancy, you can do commerce, you can do quite a few of the other courses. But you can also do law. You can also do what they call mass comm, mass communication and all those things. Then humanity. You can also study history if you want to. Then religion, comparative religion, a lot of these art courses. Then there are now a lot of these new courses like psychology or psychiatry. Psychology. Psychiatry had to be a doctor to qualify to be a psychiatrist. Psychology, they study psychology, human behavior, human mental problems. Yeah. Then there is a lot of other art courses. The arts is a very wide field now. The courses are, the field are very wide. Then like my daughter, they all go into IT. IT more versatile. But for art students, not easy to study IT. IT more technical. More technical. But nowadays, I think IT is something like compulsory. You don't know IT, like you are illiterate. So as an art student, I think you may also have to study IT as a course. During my time, we don't have IT, we have computer science. We have computer science, but that time computer science was so primitive. The binary system, 0 and 1 are the program, or the computer is, I think, the they call it what? In the whole room, store one big fellow. So during that time, very so, even during my time, binary numbers, I think. 0 and 1. That type of program, one big stack of card, run one very simple program, and then always come out syntax error. Got to go and do a lot of permitting. But now the IT is so different. The whole AI industry has transformed and changed. So if you want to have a career that is more towards the civilization's progress, you need to choose IT field, IT related field. So I also not clear how the Form 6 subject is going to be like. Do they give you any guideline or option to choose after your Form 5? What are the courses that you're supposed to study? Yeah.
Same as you, engineering, mechanical.
Mechanical, civil, electrical, chemical, now they got chemical. Then what about arts? What are your choice?
One more is accounting.
Yeah, like accounting is the part of arts. You have to take the maths only. General maths, they call it.
This is my choice.
Your choice, that is good. Commerce. Accounting is straightforward.
Economic.
No, accounting you will also study some IT. Nowadays, accountant need to study IT. Economics is of course one of them. Economics is compulsory also. Then commerce also compulsory. You have to study them. And there are a lot of other related accountancy subjects. They have various types, and I got a lot of classmates who went into accountancy. But their advice is try to avoid auditing. Auditing is really not easy. So my friend who took accountancy, he don't want to do audit. He want to do, you see, when you go into accountancy, you can specialize. Your final year subjects, you can choose and specialize into the major that you want to study. So he studied this what they call corporate finance. Corporate finance is a very interesting field. Then he also studied this. Of course, you have to go through the training. I think that time they are at Australia. He studied the Australian system. He took the ACCA. Then he come back. Instead of going through the MACPA, he doesn't want. He applied to all the listed company and work there as an accountant, but he cannot sign account because he didn't go through audit, he didn't take the MACPA and all that. But he majored in corporate finance. So he ended up becoming the financial controller and head of corporate finance. Corporate finance means all the listing. All the corporate activity, like calling, raise fund, raise bond, calling for right issue. He do all those things. Then as a financial controller, he manage all the funds and money and all those things. Then of course you also must know how to set up companies and all those things. They have this taxation where you can also major in. So taxation, also, many people end up as tax consultant. Then they also have this what they call audit company. Audit company also, they are very big. So we call them the big five. The big five accounting firm. Once you go through your audit training, then you get promoted. The pay become very good. But during the first 2-3 years of audit training, it's not easy. But I was told now, there is one special option. I just heard it from Brother Jim, the president of SJBA. Last Sunday I went there and gave a talk. I was with my wife. We were invited to the, he has a nice aircon room where we can have our tea. Then we discuss about our children. Then he told me his son is doing that course, accountancy. But the 3 years, after he graduated, that 3 year course is supposed to be like audit, but it is counted as a service. Means that 3 years finished, he also qualified as an accountant, but he is paid. His salary is much better than the audit training and all that. His starting pay, I think, was 4,000 or 4,000 plus. Then he said, he didn't know until the son told him, he said, there is such a course. So you can go and find out. There are certain firms that actually hire this type of graduate, then instead of going through the normal audit training, they also will recognize your service, and at the same time you can become a qualified accountant. So all this you have to find out from the people who are in the working industry. So if that's the field you like, then easy. So you just focus on accounting. Ask your mama take you around to see these accountants, people who are in that field. Talk to them. How is their career like? And then they will tell you a lot of their experience and what to avoid and what to go for. So accountancy is quite straightforward. So it's an easier course too, not that difficult. Not that difficult. IT is more difficult, but very versatile. You can get a lot of job. You got IT, you can get hired very easily. Nowadays people need IT. Once you got IT, they say come. Then they will teach you what they want you to do, and you learn on the job. You learn, but they need the basic IT training. And most of the thing you have to learn after you graduate. But you have to interact with more people. That's why study local got advantage. Your colleague, your classmate everywhere. Then you learn very fast. When I was in the uni, I buy more non-engineering book than engineering book. Because I knew engineering is very technical and I already know them. I want to study other things that I don't know. That's why I go and buy a lot of this other non-engineering book. And I like a lot of those funny books. There's all about civilization. What they call American great scientists. All the famous scientists, their name and all those things. I like to read all their books. Then Albert Einstein. Then all the famous scientists. I go and buy all those books and read them. Then I go to the library and look for this funny book. But of course, I also like organization theory. When I was in the final year, I like that subject very much. Yes, we call it organization theory. All engineers are supposed to study that field. But the funny course, only 1 year, no final year. The lecturer that come and teach us is from various faculties. I remember economics faculty, law faculty, and also accountancy faculty. I think more than 10 lecturers teach us one subject. And every lecturer given 5 classes only. Means you attend 5 lectures only. Then that lecturer that came in that taught us financial statement, he said your university is crazy. He gave me 5 lectures, asked me to cover the whole of accountancy and financial statement. He's a mad fellow. Then the tax guy come in. One dish taxation, normal tax, one dish the corporate tax and all those things. Then the other one is the law. You have land law, you have commercial law. Then also they have this economic guy who teach economics. But the best one is the organization theory guy. That guy teach method study, work study, organization theory. That guy, he's a PhD holder, Dr. Carl Duvarema. He gave us a lot of wonderful idea about organization theory. Last time, the philosophy is, like in Japan, faithful loyalty to your company, to your boss. Because they expect to work them for life, the company will take care of you. He said, now, forget about it. No such thing as loyalty to anybody. They must pay you what you are worth. Otherwise, forget about it. Then he say, everything evolves, he say. He say, nothing is static. So I like the way he teach. Then he also teaches professional ethics and all that. And I find those subjects very useful to my career. You know, when I am working, I need to know all this. And even as a civil engineer, I study electrical, I study mechanical. First year, second year is common subject. But I like those courses that are related to career and life. Like electrical, I like the house installation and all those things because ELCB everything. So that's why my house, any trick or what I understand, I know how to fix them. So these are the things that I develop interest, then I learn extra. Then when I come out, these are very useful. Especially that organization theory paper is very, very good, very useful. I apply a lot of that I bought a lot of those type of books, and I study them. That's why when I went and worked for a company that runs a factory, I apply a lot of my organization skill, layout. They got this how to optimize your layout, your flow, work process and all things. Then we have critical path analysis, CPA, not the accountant one, CPA. This one is critical path analysis. So you have to analyze your project flowchart, which is the critical path. Well, the critical path is the path that will be the most critical. If you don't shorten this, your project time will never finish before this path. So that critical path is the one that decides how fast I can reduce my project time. Well, when you reduce your project time, you save on overhead, you save on a lot of things. And then you don't have to pay LAD, liquidated damages, for delay and all that thing. Then there's a lot of benefits to actually monitor your project. So critical path analysis is one of the most important subjects that I really developed the interest. Then the work chart, the flow chart and all those things. So for you, accountancy, you have to check with people who are in that field to advise you what are the things to look for. Then when you are in the uni, what are the things you should develop interest and study on your own. Because for me, I always look at the big picture. That's why when I was in first year and second year, I did general engineering. Then after third year, I say, one more year graduate, I still don't know anything. Means technically, how to come out and become an engineer. My design, they didn't really teach me the real design until final year. Everything is in final year. That organization theory, also management, sorry. We call that management paper. Organization theory is one of them. That management paper I like. Wow. A lot of subject inside there that is so useful. That's why I spend a lot of time studying that management paper. And I did very well. I got an A for that paper. So the one that are useful, you should actually focus on it. Then when I come out, I use 100% of what I study in management paper. Technical, I use less than 30% of what I study. Most of them not necessary. So you must have some senior people who are experienced in that particular study and field to guide you, to explain things to you. Then your career path becomes easy. You can cut short your understanding and you can be very focused about your career path. Like my son, when he come out, he know where he want to work on. He look for the company. Then he do the study. Well, now you can Google. You can Google the whole organization. Even the CEO, the COO, or the senior management, the partner, their CV, everything is in the website. So before you go for interview, you will know who they are and all those things. So this one is very useful when you go for interview. You must do your study. Last time my time don't have such information. You got to go and look for company annual report. If it's listed company only have. Otherwise you got to go to the company and borrow their whatever material about their company. And outside people cannot get them. So these are the things that you need to be resourceful to find out on your own, then it will benefit you. So Form 5 is a good time to look at all these things. Then if you go college direct, you save 2 years. That 2 years is very useful. But for me personally, I find Form 6 quite useful. Yeah, when I was in Form 6, although I studied only 1.5 years, because the first half of Lower 6, we don't have any any teaching class, because we, by the time our result come out, it's already March or so. Then by the time we go in the lower six, it's already May or June. May or June. So lower six, we only got 5 months, I think. But I like that paper, general paper. So it teach me a lot of things about maturity. Maturity, that general paper. Then you mature during those lower 6 and upper 6 years. But I think now is different. Now you don't need that one. Last time, my time, no internet, nothing. Everything also we had to learn from the school. Now, no need to go to school. At home, you can learn.
TED Talks.
And they teach you also. I was told by Chin Hao also. He said, anything you want to be good at, even video, audio, or what, you go to this YouTube, they teach you everything, and they even advise you what to do and how to be good at it. Even cooking also. Whatever you want to know, they have courses. And theirs is all very nicely YouTube video out. And they teach you in very systematic and most up-to-date manner. So nowadays a lot of information you can get from the internet. Not like our time. That's why our civilization evolved. You have to keep up with the evolution of civilization. Means the way we live our life, the way the human beings behave. Their behavior all changed. Not like our time. Our time, things are very slow. Information are very slow. Nowadays, split second on your handphone. Then a lot of new things also we still have to learn. But luckily, both my children in IT field, so we all experiment, we learn faster too. we don't need to go and look for people. That's why I meant to be. Otherwise, a lot of things, like my new phone, I don't know how to install, so don't go and ask me to buy new phone. They're too sophisticated, but they are very good. Half a day, they transfer all my data and install everything out for me. So convenience. Okay, so don't worry. You got any problem, ask your parent to bring you to see accountant. See more of this accountant. All these are very useful. Then you plan your career, you plan your life, and you will be successful. Do research. You know, now internet, a lot of information. Find out things that you want to know from the internet. No need only Google. YouTube also have a lot of other apps also. They can teach you a lot of things. Sadhu. Any other question? We got another 20 minutes. 2:30 we end. About the Dhamma, any question? Or about life also can. So those going for the retreat, you got another 5 days to go. 6 days, sorry, 6 more days. Saturday is the day we travel, 14th of March, Saturday. So those who are going for HGBA, Thursday class, remember when you reach my house, collect the new Heart Sutta second edition. We hope to finish it. The printer is supposed to deliver on the 9th. Means Monday. So Tuesday class can collect them. Hopefully, no promise. They try their best. Otherwise you collect on that Saturday. That morning when you reach my house, I think the bus has about 37 of us, or 35 of us, I forgot already. So if the 35 all can collect, then we don't have to bring so many out. The book is heavy, very, very heavy. So we will put them in a box Then the rest that come from Penang and Singapore, they can have. Oh no, the Singapore one will reach Friday night. So Singapore I can pass to them first. The rest, they can collect at the retreat, Cameron Highland, Sampo Temple. Regarding coronavirus, no need to panic, understand not? Always remember, the Dhamma is very simple. Apply the Dhamma. Condition like that, things will be like that. Let it unfold. Maybe political or what. Don't go and panic, worry and do all sorts of fun hitting. Calm your mind down, develop the understanding and learn from it. Take precaution. Do what you have to do. If you have symptom or sign, then go and check it out. Nowadays, no need to go hospital. Call the hotline. Talk to them. Then they will advise you. But most of us, if you don't simply like mix around and get yourself contagious, I think you are okay. Because the cases is starting to be more and more because they got one super spreader, one spread to 26. That one, the 26 somehow spread other place. So be a bit careful. But you take care, not lightly. Avoid crowded place, avoid places where people interact very closely. Then whatever you want to do, make it brief and short. Means go and buy, go back. And avoid those crowded places. I think it will come to pass. Maybe another 1-2 months. So if you take care, it shouldn't be a problem. It's actually not something very serious, but it is something that you also have to bear in mind. It's what they call the rate is spread is faster. You know, this particular type of virus is very infectious. It seems it is spread very fast. But the mortality rate is very low. Very low. Even at Wuhan, where the epicenter, the mortality rate is only about 2%. But outside, less than 1% point something. Very low. And the people who recover is a lot more. Now in China, it seems the new cases are very low. But the one that recover is a lot. Every day, I think a few thousand recover. But this particular incident also teaches to be hygienic. Then to be more like careful in the way we live our life. Because like the Buddha said, if you protect yourself, you protect others. It's good for both sides. Like when you keep your precept, you protect yourself from negativity or karma. But at the same time, when you keep your precept, you don't create karmic negativity and hit out at others. Understand? Or cause suffering and misery to others. That's why when you protect yourself, you protect others. So you learn this hygienic thing, you protect yourself, you protect others. So if everybody starts to do, the chances of all this spreading is less. Then make it a point, don't know all places where people often use, clean them with this type of alcohol thing or whatever. Just clean them more often. Then it will avoid many things. Because it seems this thing is not airborne. The moment is in the air, it doesn't live long. It dies very fast. So if you take care of all this, then it's okay. Where they survive in the moisture. In the moisture. So when you sneeze and all say the moisture is still there, then it survives. But the moment it dry out, it's gone. So all these are the new understanding that we need to develop. That's why outside of Wuhan in China, almost most of the city now, no one new case reported for the last few days. But the one that recovered is a lot more. So we heard they are starting to go back to work. My daughter got one friend work in Shanghai. After Chinese New Year, the company said, you work from Malaysia, work from home, don't come. They don't want to welcome people. But yesterday, she met up with her, said, tomorrow, yesterday, she's flying back. They call her, you can come now. So the situation is, in China, is much better. So, no need to worry, no need to panic. So they always say, mysteriously they come, mysteriously they go. All of a sudden gone. Then you don't talk about it anymore. In fact, you look at normal flu, there are more people who die from flu than COVID-19. The normal flu, the death is very high. That's why they ask you to take flu jab when you go overseas. You realize that? But nobody bothered. There are some, of course. Because we have been traveling so many times overseas, we don't take the jab, we're still okay. But certain doctors advise it's better to have the jab. I don't know. There are differences of opinion. Sometimes they say, for no reason you go and jab and then you get into trouble. Yeah, you don't know the doctor that jab you put in the correct dose or not. You don't know. And sometimes the needle contaminated. You also don't know. But it's your karma. They say, take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. So trust our nature. Trust our karma. Then you will be okay. So that part on coronavirus is to let you have the understanding. When no amount of fear, worry, anxiety or panic can help you, it will not help you, it makes you worse. Then you are not rational, you don't have clarity of mind, you don't know how to act. You simply send out message, fake news also send out. You panic people. You yourself panic, you want others to be panic also. That's why you send out. That is not good. Then sometimes you think you want to maybe advise people. Then after you send out, somebody send their fake news. So be careful. So filter them first. And make sure you have the understanding. Then stay calm. Then take care. With hygiene and all those things. Protect yourself, protect others. And even your own family member, if you are not feeling well, you isolate yourself for a while until your symptoms are no more. Then use your handkerchief and also use your whatever wet tissue. Then you have soap or wash with the soap is enough. So in the retreat, we are going to supply you with the face mask. We are going to supply you with the... I think Adeline has bought some of the soap or water to clean your hand so that you can maintain hygiene and all those things. Then the one on duty, clean all those doorknobs or whatever place that people often touch. But just a precaution doesn't mean that you are going to have those COVID-19 up there. Very likely no, because our kayamita got good karma. And also most of us are careful. If we don't feel well, we will isolate ourselves. Then maybe some of them, if you really feel something, not stay at home. Sui An say he will check your temperature. I don't know true. Did he already go and buy that one? That gun. I go Maybank now so they check. Which is just a precaution because they try not to allow people with possibility of the COVID-19 from going in. We have one fellow Kena inside, the whole bank worker. So they are very scared. Otherwise, they had to clean up the whole place. And it's not cheap. I was the one of the hospital spent 2 days cleaning out. Then they say SGMC also kena. But don't worry, don't create unnecessary fear and panic. Okay, if there's no more question, we can end. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will share merit, transfer merit. Then we will invoke power of merits for our country to have more peace and more good governance and all these things. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyam tam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu loka sasana ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam meñatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo devo asatkarena sansa sampati heto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko imina punyam kamina mami bhavam samagamo sattam samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. Thank you.
Uh-huh.